Talk Live. Launching into hour number three, you bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you tonight.
And Wade.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com, right into your phone calls. William is on the line in Connecticut. Now, William, you just gotten into talking about this House resolution that's up here in New Hampshire that is essentially saying, as I understand it, that if the federal government does X, Y, or Z, then the New Hampshire government will begin the process of seceding. And I wanted to make sure you had a chance to comment fully, so go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, why wait for them to do something? Haven't they already done enough?
I agree with you. I'm all in favor.
I'm entirely in agreement with him. But I think that it makes some sense that if you can find somebody's issue and say that, you know, if the federal government does this, or this, and you include their issue, then they feel like they have some kind of power, whether it's bailouts or guns or, I don't know, illegal aliens. There's all kinds of issues that people find important that they don't feel that the government responds to them at all on, and I think that you might have some luck rather than just saying, let's secede, saying, well, if they do this, then let's secede.
You know, what's interesting about this resolution also is that you'll probably get a lot of support among your Republican friends for it now, but the Democrats are going to hold off because they're drinking the Obama Kool-Aid right now, and they're going to be thinking that they're right. A good government now.
Yeah, the Vermont secession movement is on ice for the moment.
Do you know that to be true, or are you just assuming?
No, I'm just presuming.
I presume it, too.
Yeah, because they wanted to secede so they could become more socialist, essentially. And now, well, they've got Obama in, so I'm sure they're going to not really be focusing on that too much. But all that said, William, apparently the news is also that there are other states around the country that are going to be proposing similar pieces of legislation. So while I'm with you and that I agree that secession needs to happen now and there's nothing more that needs to be waited until, I still support this. I think it's a step in the right direction, and anything that gets people talking about secession, whether it's on the radio or just around the dinner table or whatever, the better, right?
And defining intolerable acts by the federal government is an important step, too.
Any other thoughts, William?
Yeah, well, back to the money situation. You won't be able to do anything as an independent state, country, nation, whatever you want to call it, without your own monetary system, and not like what we have and what most countries have today, which is a fiat monetary system controlled by private bankers. You have to eliminate private banking altogether and have the money controlled directly by the people. Just as the government should be controlled by the people, so should the monetary system.
Don't you think that that sounds like as pie in the sky as what the socialists say when they say, well, if we could just get the power of the government out of the hands of the big business interests and get it back into the hands of the people, then it would be fair and just and right. I mean, when has the government ever been in the hands of the people?
Well, exactly. Especially at the federal level, you know, the farther away the government is from the people, the harder it is to keep it under control.
Since government largely maintains its control by issuance of currency, what if we got the issuance of currency out of their hands? Then they would, in fact, rule at the pleasure of the people because they wouldn't have this power of manufacturing money out of thin air, which is what a fiat currency is that you're talking about, and instead have private organizations print up pieces of paper or mint silver and gold and things like that so that people could use real value to exchange for goods and services.
You just got it totally wrong. You said the government issues money. The government does not issue money. A private bank called the Federal Reserve issues money to the federal government.
Well, I've been looking into that, and, you know, I would agree. Yes, it's true that the private banks are involved, but the government's heavily involved in how much and, you know, how it's done.
They appoint the guys to the Federal Reserve, the board.
I'll grant you it is a private bank, and I'll grant you that they make money on it. However, it's, you know, the government is the largest recipient of the windfall profits from the principal.
And they're
principal
the enabler.
Money.
I mean, it's a deal between the two of them.
Sure.
So,
it's a deal between two entities in order to screw the American people.
It's a partnership between the U.S.
Okay.
Treasury and the
fiat system does not get any better just because it's in the hands of the government as opposed, 100% in the hands of the government as opposed to...
Right, because instead of a deal between two people...
Yes,
instead of a deal between two people, two or entities to screw the American people, then you'd have a conspiracy with one entity to screw the American people. I say
entities
out of it.
I'm not talking about the American people. I'm talking about the state of New Hampshire.
Okay. I don't care if it's the feds or the state of New Hampshire, dude. What we're talking about here is a coercive monopoly. You're talking about a violent monopoly. They call themselves government. Whether they call themselves the federal government or the New Hampshire state government, their incentives are the same, and that is to screw you.
But where is the coercion?
Where's what coercion?
You said it's a coercive force or whatever you said.
Well, any sort of fiat currency is inherently coercive because you have to have a legal tender law in order for it to force people to accept it. Now, I know that's not necessarily what you were calling for, but it did sound like you were advocating for government involvement in the money system, and I think that I believe that's folly. I think that you need to have private issuers of currency competing in the marketplace on the basis of a variety of factors.
If a private company, say a bank, wants to issue a loan, and then you have to pay back the loan plus interest. Where do you get the interest from? And then where does that interest go? It goes to the private banker?
Well, assuming that you would, I mean, you would only take the loan if you had the belief that you could make the money back, correct?
Precisely, like say you wanted a mortgage on a house.
One would assume that I'm going to have a job and going to get paid money. I think it's my guess, my recollection, my belief that if private entities got into the business of doing currency, which they have been in this country in the past, and if you look at the histories of Southeast Asia, all of their monies were private banknotes backed by gold and silver, that it would likely be metals. Gold and silver and copper, uranium, palladium.
Okay, but you're totally missing the point. We already
I'm dumb that way.
Federal Reserve is private, so when any loan is issued, the interest money goes back into their own pockets.
I am really, really familiar with the Federal Reserve and how it works. And I know that it is an evil, evil institution that the federal government is in bed with.
Okay, so now listen to this as a totally different alternative. If it was controlled by the people of the state of New Hampshire...
It's a damn lie.
The bank of the state of New Hampshire...
It's a damn
lie. Any interest money on any loans... Would
it's not
going to
be controlled by those people. It's going to be controlled by somebody who's either in charge of the New Hampshire government or in charge of the Bank of New Hampshire. If you only have a monopoly, look, do you get better services and a better price from a monopoly, one organization, or if there's competition in the market? Which do you get better?
All it is math. If you're paying a certain amount of interest on a loan, a sixth grader could do the math on that. It's no magic thing that they do. Now, when that interest money is paid back, instead of it going into private pockets, why not use that interest money to then fund the things that the state usually gets the
because
money
when
from?
Because when New Hampshire wants to go
whatever.
To war with Quebec, then they turn on the printing presses. They print a whole bunch of New Hampshire notes. They buy a whole bunch of tanks and bombs and missiles, and they say, we're going to war, and we don't care whether the people of New Hampshire like it or not.
Well, he's
because
not
of the idea of the people having control of anything that has to do with government is really pretty fallacious. The bigger the government, the worse, and certainly a smaller government like New Hampshire would be more responsive, but still... The fact is, I don't want seatbelts in New Hampshire, and right now, sitting in Concord is a bill to push seatbelts through. I don't know whether it's going to go through or not, but I don't have any real control over that because it's not a bill pushed through by the people, because the people aren't in New Hampshire. Lawmakers are.
Yeah, I don't want the government
involved. Concord.
I don't want the government involved in anything in my life, especially my pocketbook. I don't want them
dealing with
money.
Why do you want the government to control the currency so badly?
It's not a matter of them controlling it. It's a matter of where does the interest money go that all loans have to be paid.
I want the interest money to go to whoever it is that gave me the loan. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231.
That's what banks do for a living, isn't it?
That's what private loan people do.
I mean, what's wrong with making money on what you do for a living? Is it so bad that the money that comes into Free Talk Live for ads goes into my pockets?
Yeah, is this guy going to say that profit is bad now? I mean, was that going to be his next point, that making money is evil? Let's talk about money and evil. It's Free Talk Live.
It's time now for the Get Motivated Minute, designed to empower you to achieve your toughest goals with acclaimed motivational expert and success strategist, Tamara Lowe.
Do you have a hard time hiring new employees and deciding who's best? I make most of the hiring decisions for key positions in our company, and our motivational research has shown me how to better fit people and positions together. I first list the non-negotiable aptitudes that we need for the job. Then I write down the behaviors, skills, and experience that the ideal candidate for the position needs. This reveals the motivational DNA type that would be best suited for the opening. With budgets tighter and even less room for error, hiring the right person is crucial. Using motivational DNA as a key part of your hiring process will help you choose the best candidate for the job. For the Get Motivated Minute, I'm Tamara Lowe.
To learn more and to discover your motivational DNA profile, take the free test at getmotivatedbook.com. Drawing on two decades of research and thousands of interviews, in Get Motivated, Tamara Lowe reveals a groundbreaking tool to identify your unique motivational DNA. With simple strategies and specific steps, she provides advice on how to reach your goals quicker and easier than ever before. Get Motivated is available now wherever books are sold.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Stop wasting your time struggling with everything you're trying to learn. Learning should be a pleasure, not torture. The School of Phenomenal Memory gives you the training and tools you need to memorize any type of information quickly and efficiently. Just as you need to exercise to get your body into shape, you need to exercise mentally to improve your memory. The School of Phenomenal Memory will act as your personal trainer, guiding you through a series of 60 lessons. Once completed, you will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, guaranteed. Our course is not based on classic mnemonic techniques or other tricks that you simply can't apply in real life. Instead, the School of Phenomenal Memory uses the latest breakthrough and scientific understanding of how memory works, applying techniques based on natural mechanisms of your brain and memory. Start exercising your brain today at pmemory.net and receive Secrets of a Phenomenal Memory, the amazing ebook, absolutely free. Visit pmemory.net. The time is now. Learn how to memorize entire books today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. Just dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, and those include the Shrine of Female Listeners, the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo to prove they listen to the show. head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see it for yourself. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. We go to the AMP line where Mike Barsky is on the line, fresh out of jail. We talked about your case, I think it was it last night? No, it was whenever the court trial was, which was a couple days ago. And
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. And
Mike, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike Barsky, super activist here in New Hampshire, the man that can be counted on to show up to virtually anything that's happening. I mean,
it's really true.
I've never gone anywhere and not seen you, it seems like. You are pretty much ubiquitous around here. And unfortunately, we've been missing you recently because the New Hampshire stateies decided to throw you in a jail cell because you didn't harm anybody else. They slapped about 6 charges on you. I don't have the laundry list of them in front of me. I think one of them was an open container, driving without registration. I'm sure you know them better than I.
Yeah, driving without a license, driving without a registration, transporting an empty beer bottle in a car, then not showing up for court for those 3.
Yeah.
And then one thing that I was never cited for, but they issued a warrant for my arrest for, was carrying a weapon without a permit. And I can get into the details of that, but I wasn't. And the last one was speeding, I guess.
In addition to all that, there's another political designation in New Hampshire, the Keene area, that they're also after you for organizing a festival, for organizing a little event called Freedom Fest here in Keene, and that's still yet to all of the occurrences there have yet to happen. They've demanded that you show up for their trial, so there's a couple of, I guess that's a hearing, but there's a hearing for that coming up in early March, and they're going to have a trial for the 6 things that you just ran down the list of here also in March. So you're not out of their clutches yet, and the reason you're out tonight is because, why are you out tonight? They were going to hold you for like a month until your trial because you hadn't bailed out. Did you bail out?
Right. It would have been over 5 weeks, and I did bail out. What I did was I attempted the Canario-esque noncompliance, and not that she's the only one, but she's probably the most famous. That's why I used her name. And so when I was arrested, I did not give the cops. I did not answer some of their questions, and I refused to give them my fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, you know, kind of warned me that, well, you don't have to give your fingerprints here, but when you get to Valley Street Jail, they're not going to be so nice. And when I got to the jail at about 3 a.m., I was really anticipating being beat up. Now, I don't know if that's a realistic anticipation, but I thought I would have been beat up for not giving my fingerprint. I was not. I did refuse to comply with that and getting a TB test, tuberculosis. And so they kept me in the holding tank, and it turns out I was there for about 33 hours. And the holding tank is like a cement floor and metal benches and a toilet. And so, they put anywhere from 1 to, say, 30 people in there.
Whoa, hold on a second. So you were in with other people in the holding tank?
Yeah, I was in the processing unit. They put people coming into jail there and going out of jail there while they bangle paperwork.
Right. He has not been yet let into the jail because he has not given up his fingerprints and TB. So he doesn't have the added advantage of being in the slightly nicer section of the jail.
Well, they threatened me because I went to jail here in Westmoreland, New Hampshire, and they threatened me with solitary if I did not answer their questions.
They can put, well, it's not the same as solitary. What it would be is a holding tank solitary situation as opposed to something else.
So wait, when you say it would be a holding tank solitary situation, what would
you probably wouldn't be put into the regular jail population,
right?
Because you haven't been processed in, and you have to. You know, the government has to fill out its paperwork, so they're going to figure out one way or the other to do that.
What actually happened was somewhere in between, at least at this jail, and what they did with me was after 33 hours of noncompliance, one of the guards, actually 2 of the guards, called me up and said, "Hey, what would you think if we put you in a housing unit? Even though you're not giving us your fingerprints, we send you to the housing unit." And I said, "Well, let me think about it." And he said, "Actually, I was just being diplomatic. We're going to do this." And I said, "No, no problem." And I said, "So what if I don't want to?" And the other guard piped in, "Well, we'd wrestle you down and take your clothes off, and you don't want us to do that." And I said, "So if I refuse, the next step is you use physical force." And they said, "Oh, no, we're not going to use physical force." But they, of course, were.
Right. Well, what's
so that's when I caved in.
Wrestling isn't physical force?
yeah.
This is interesting to me because, I mean, comparing experiences here, having been put in for what was originally a 93-day sentence, spending 3 days and then essentially begging for mercy from the judge and being let out, having my experience, they didn't try to take my fingerprints, which is very strange.
You weren't actually arrested. The
judge said arrest that man in the courtroom. They put handcuffs on me.
I'm sorry. There is no charge.
Because there's no contempt charge?
There is no charge of contempt. Contempt is sort of it's a practice. It's a tradition.
But they took my mugshot. Why wouldn't they try to fingerprint me anyway?
I've never been in a contempt. I'm not an attorney, and I would say that a lot of attorneys don't know what the hell the difference is either.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer either, but I can tell you I was only in jail, three or four nights or whatever, but there was a lot of arbitrariness to the jailer's decisions and what privileges they withheld and gave to me and to other sons and what they did or did not let happen. There's a lot of arbitrariness.
Mm-hmm. When I had gone in, initially I was considering not answering the questions, and then when they told me that it was going to result in me put into solitary confinement, essentially, I decided to go ahead and answer the questions. And I feel as though being cooperative with the corrections officers certainly avoided any kind of violent confrontation. They were very nice to me as a result of that. Obviously, it didn't make their job very difficult. And so I felt like that was good because it ended up putting me in with the other prisoners. I was able to socialize with them. And
I don't see the point of making a big stink in front of the correctional officers. I don't think it's going to make any difference at all in the grand scheme of things.
Making them hate you is not going to
getting a correctional officer to possibly quit because they finally see the evil of their coercive ways. And then what? Somebody else comes in and does the same thing?
Well, I think you could
I don't think any one act is going to change anything. I think that, the Canario-esque style is, one that if enough people did it, it might have an effect.
So it's powerful.
And when I eventually, what I did was start to cave at that point. I said, okay, well, I don't want you to use force against me, so I will go get put in jail, but I still wasn't doing fingerprints yet. Then in jail, they moved me around a couple times and did some other kind of mean stuff. And so I eventually said, okay, I'll do fingerprints as well. And then all the cops were nice. And one of them even had the gall to say to me directly, all we were looking for is compliance. I mean, that's the answer right there. All they want is you to obey.
Yes.
It's their number one thing. That's what I learned. That's what was certainly the lesson that I took away from my experience. It wasn't about the money as much as it was about me being obedient to their system.
Yeah, and if you look at if you look at individually each one of these bureaucrats, they don't get the money. They get a paycheck. One way or the other, they're going to get their paycheck, and it's going to be in the amount that they get it in. They don't get the money that you have to give up, so they want compliance. They want to. It's their job to sort of waste your time and get you to do what it is they want you to do.
Mike, can you hang on? I'd like to continue swapping observations if you got the time.
Yes.
All right. More with Mike Barsky here in moments. We'll talk to him about his experience in jail for being an activist and not harming anybody else. He was a peaceful man, and they decided to throw him in a jail cell. We'll continue with him and your calls as well. It's Free Talk Live.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
Your engine is the heart of your vehicle. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to determine whether it's going to go the long run? Or should you dump your vehicle before you experience a major expense? The military has developed such a technology, and it's called oil analysis. By taking a mere 4-ounce sample during an oil change, you can get an easy-to-read, complete report by an independent laboratory covering engine wear, oil condition, and contamination. You could expect to pay hundreds of dollars or more for someone to look inside your engine. But now, for only $14.95, we will send you a test kit with easy-to-follow directions. Yes, just $14.95. Then you can speak directly with one of our experts on your engine's condition and how to make it last longer. Act now, and we'll pay the shipping to you. Visit oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com, or call 888-873-7371. That's 888-873-7371. 888-873-7371.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
Do you have doubts about the stability of the dollar or your own financial future? Is a dismal growth rate or rampant inflation affecting the bottom line of your retirement savings account? Do you worry about uncontrollable economic events which could suddenly wipe out some or all of your hard-earned savings? You can turn adversity into opportunity. Individual retirement accounts and most 401ks, 403bs, SEPs, and other retirement plans can be rolled over into self-directed accounts using gold and silver. There are definitely some do's and don'ts with this rollover process, and that's where Midas Resources comes in. Call us at 1-866-323-5665, and we can help you with this process. History has shown that metals will maintain your buying power even if other financial assets are failing. It's not a question of if you'll need precious metals in your portfolio, it's a question of when. So whether you're planning for an economic rainy day or a Category 5 hurricane, the solution is the same. Call us today at 1-866-323-5665. 1-866-323-5665.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up anything toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231, and you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got updates. If you want to know what the latest is with Free Talk Live, get on the updates list at updates.freetalklive.com. It is completely free, like everything else on our site, updates.freetalklive.com. And over the past few days, actually on Monday, we talked about Mike Barsky and a couple of the other activists here in the New Hampshire area that have been arrested for doing things that in no way put another person in any jeopardy whatsoever, completely consensual so-called crimes. And Mike Barsky, having spent a number of days in jail in the Manchester area, has now bailed out. And he's on our AMP line talking about it. Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, very good. So we have you back. It sounds like there's some noise, something going on in the background there. Are you driving?
I have, yeah, not been home yet, and I'm actually walking to my apartment now, so that might have been the street behind me.
Okay. It may be your cell phone. I may have to kind of pot you up and down here as we conduct the conversation, because when you talk, it goes away. Anyway, so we're talking with you about your experience in jail, and obviously I've been in jail here in New Hampshire as well, and so we're going to kind of swap stories
here. I'm trying to avoid it.
What's your trying to avoid jail? Mark?
Yeah, thank you.
So I've heard, Mike, that the jail you were in is one of the bad ones in New Hampshire. How do you feel? I mean, after you started complying with the guards, you said they were nicer to you. How do you feel in general about your stay at the Valley Street Jail in Manchester?
It was pretty miserable, and even when they were nice, actually only one guard was nice, but the others were nicer. Mm-hmm. There was still a very demeaning experience. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've never been in jail before. I don't know how to compare it. I can tell you, I talked to a lot of cons going in and out, and most of them said it was pretty bad. Some of them said, "Nah, it's a piece of cake." But you know, Mark's prison term, I'm sure, was far worse, and some jails are probably far worse.
Some people say jail is worse than prison.
I would say the jail is worse than prison.
Why would you say that, Mark?
It's more boring.
More boring.
Well, there's less to do. I mean, you know, in prison, I got to go out and have a job, and it gives you some meaning in life. And when I didn't have work and we weren't being, you know, stuck inside, we could go out and play handball or walk around the track or, you know, do those kinds of things. So we had hours a day that we were able to do that.
So you said, Mike, that you were in the holding center, which is kind of, what did they call it, the bubble, where there was like a control room and then kind of an area where they bring people in and search them, and then there's some cells just immediately in that area. Was that the vicinity that you were in the jail?
That's where I was for the first 33 hours. Then I was actually in a couple various pods in the jail, and the pods are a group of cells, actual jail cells. So basically, after they threatened violence, I didn't want to be violated. So I said, okay, I'll move in. I wasn't yet giving them my fingerprints, but they moved me into the actual jail cells.
So you were put into what they call population?
Yes.
And so that happened, I presume, after your trial or the hearing on Monday.
So what did they do? Did they do in order to get you to give up your fingerprints?
Actually, I lost a lot of faith in the government's ability to recognize all of my charges as victimless crimes after the trial. Mm-hmm. The arraignment, and I was really scared, and I actually am still really scared that the judge is going to find, you know, sentence me to a year in jail. And I wanted, trying to do anything in jail is near impossible. Just making a phone call.
Yes.
So I really wanted to be out of jail to be able to prepare for this.
To be able to talk to, it's impossible to talk to an attorney. If you want to go to the law library, you have to put in a request. It's going to take a week. You go, you know, here you are, the law library. Here's some law books. Good luck, kid. So there's a wall of library, you know, law books sitting in front of you. You have no idea what to do. It's really a mess. You're really, you know, and lawyers know that they have you over a barrel in that situation, too. You can't comparison shop there.
I mean, that, and in combination with a number of fears I had, first of all, never having been in jail, all this was new to me, and I was scared each step of the way, not knowing what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anticipating a long jail sentence, and will I lose my job when I get out, which, by the way, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just really getting scared, and I said, fine, I'll just succumb. And I'm really disappointed in myself for not having more courage to, because I really firmly believe that, you know, you don't need permission to drive without a license. And yet here I am, probably going to go get a license so that my sentence will be less severe, et cetera. And it's just disappointing.
Mike, I hear where you're coming from. Like, you had a plan on how to do it. And essentially what the plan is to make it that much more hard and arduous to enforce their laws to the point that people see what a bad system it is. And they, you know, the people on the inside see, well, this just isn't going to work. And they come up with some new method. So what you were planning to do was drag your feet more. Now what you're doing is dragging your feet less. If the vast majority of people who are being pushed through this coercive and dangerous system drug their feet at all, it would come to a grinding stop.
Yeah, I don't think
you're doing something.
Right. I agree with you, and I don't think it should be disappointing to you. I can understand why you would feel that way, but at the same time, you also have to remember that you are essentially a trailblazer. I mean, you're one of the few who have actually gone ahead and non-cooperated to some extent with this government. I mean, there are people that are going to look at this and be inspired to do similar things in the future. But you and I both know, Mike, that the reality is there's not a lot of them right now. I mean, we can count on one hand the amount of Free Staters or liberty activists here that have been arrested for civil disobedience actions. So there really isn't anything near anything like a critical mass of people that could have that kind of effect that Mark was talking about there.
And now I know why. I don't know how Lauren does what she does. It's just amazing. I mean, actually, having done it now, I think I could go back to jail for 30 or maybe even 60 days without much of a problem, because I'm kind of used to what they have to offer, and I could put up with it. I still have some things on the outside world I'm not ready to go back into jail for yet,
right,
like my job, but
Right. Well, that's the thing, Mike. Is,
practice makes perfect.
You know, what Lauren, some of the advantages that Lauren has is she doesn't have a, you know, real job in the sense that she has to, you know, punch a time clock and those kind of things. She sort of, she has money saved up and she works at odd jobs and makes money in that manner. She also has a firm place to live. Her husband, Jim, is always going to let her live with him. So, you know, he keeps the homestead. I don't know what your living arrangements are, but if you have an apartment on your own, then you've got a real problem as far as not just where to live when you get out, but also where is my stuff? Because it might have very well been auctioned off in order to pay the security deposit or whatever. So it's not easy.
Yeah, that's completely correct. And I do live alone. However, I was fortunate enough to know this time that the cops were out to get me, and I cannot overstate the importance of this. I have excellent friends up here who bailed me out, who picked me up, who was taking care of my apartment with instructions I left if I got arrested. Free Staters sent me letters in jail that totally made me feel better.
Yep.
Apparently, and I haven't learned this yet, I haven't even been online, there's more going on, you know, about me in jail than I'm aware of. But even the little bit that I was made aware of in jail is just so huge.
It's an amazing group of people up here, and if you're going to be in trouble with the state, there's no place else you'd rather be than surrounded by the Free Staters and Liberty
Actors. I don't think we're looking for criminals. What we're looking for is people that will, you know, stand up to the state and it's in its coercive capacities and try to beat it back into some you know, area where it's legitimate.
So tell me about some of the people you met while you were in there, Mike. I know we've always talked about the your interactions with the COs, but what about the victims that were in the jail? I mean, there are maybe some bad guys in there, but a lot of them, from my experience, were also nonviolent and peaceful people. What was your experience in meeting people in there?
Well, actually, I was hoping to experience that from what I've heard, but I only met, now keep in mind that this is apparently a pretty bad jail,
okay,
but I only met a few people who were there for victimless crimes.
Really?
You know, a guy was there for a DWI, driving while intoxicated. Now, perhaps he
victimless.
Crashed his car or hit someone, or threatening. So that's on the line. But there was a guy there for selling pot. There was a guy there for driving without insurance, registration.
Wait, I thought you said these weren't victimless crimes. Those are victimless crimes.
No, there was
a couple.
Yeah, those are just a few. Most of the people I encounter were there because they beat people up or they, whatever.
Okay. Hey, if you got more, I'd love to continue this conversation. You have a little more time?
Sure.
All right, more with Mike Barsky, one of the super activists here in New Hampshire. And you can join us here on the lines at 800-259-9231. We'll find out more about his experience in the Pokie. It's Free Talk Live.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The United States is bankrupt and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
When times get tough, we must all decide what's most important in life. At EnduringRose.com, we believe that lasting relationships are what make life most meaningful. Showing our loved ones that we care is what helps us find happiness in an uncertain world. Enduring Rose can help. We have taken real roses, the universal symbols of love, and coated them in eternal and precious 24-karat gold. These roses, forever preserved in either white or yellow gold, will never wither and never die. Unlike traditional roses, they will endure as a timeless symbol of your love. These roses, either singles or bouquets, are sensible and affordable Valentine's Day gifts that will impress and deeply touch that special someone in your life. Show her that your love will weather the storm by giving her a gold-dipped rose from Enduring Rose. We offer military discounts and free shipping on qualified orders. That's E-N-D-U-R-I-N-G, Rose, EnduringRose.com, or call 702-453-7455. That's 702-453-7455. You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods, $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters, $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks, $20. Trigger finger gloves, $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard-to-find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MAINEMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Make it now at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link, and you'll find that a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live. Well, actually, you won't find that because there's no evidence of it when you're actually shopping around. But trust us, if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com, we will get a cut. So we go back to Mike Barsky. He is one of the super activists up here in New Hampshire. Recently just got out of jail as of this afternoon after having paid a $2,000 bail. And currently in the midst of a number of legal issues where the state is coming after you, Mike, for a number of crimes that don't involve a victim. And obviously we would all like this to stop. But unfortunately, the reality of the situation is one man who's standing up against the system is not going to be enough to break it down. And we were talking earlier about the idea of non-cooperating with the jailers and that sort of thing, sort of like one of the other activists has done in the past, Lauren Canario. And I believe
what's the value to it?
Well, I believe there's value to it,
yeah.
But I think that it's more valuable if done on a mass scale simultaneously. I think there's value.
Can I add to that?
Please.
Everywhere I went, the Amherst police that arrested me in the police station and in the jail, both in the processing unit and in the pod, all the cops knew what free staters were and that I was a free stater. I didn't tell them. And, you know, they may not quite know what a free stater is. They may think we're an angry gang with guns or torches or something, but they know that there are a group of people who are coming here and standing against, you know, tyranny. The word has spread.
Absolutely. They were talking about it in the courtroom as well, out in the lobby area. They were talking about it, and
I believe that the accusation's been made that Free State Project's been called a gang among the organized crime.
Well,
unit.
The memo has gone out. That is for sure.
Yeah.
I think that you should be congratulated, Mike, for just having the courage to do what you've done so far. There's nothing to be ashamed of in cutting your stay short at the jail to get out and to get your affairs in an order, as you were talking about, or you know, in my case, I got out because I wanted to get back to my business and doing what I find important. It's not that I couldn't have stayed in the jail, and I'm sure you could have stayed there too. It's just that you've got to do what's right for you in those particular cases. And as far as the non-cooperation goes, I felt like I could be of more. I felt like I could touch more people in a more positive way by cooperating, because then I could talk to the prisoners, and then I would have a better relationship with the COs. If you're in a more positive relationship with these guys, if you're having a discussion with them, they'd be more likely to listen to what it is that you have to say in those cases. And so I know Russell Canning has gone into these jails, and he has he's not necessarily taking the Lauren Canario non-cooperation approach. He talks to these guys. And I remember that he got a letter at the Keene Free Press, or what was the Keene Free Press, now the New Hampshire Free Press. He got a letter from one of the COs months later who basically, and I wish I had in front of me to read right now because it was so touching. The CO basically,
I remember it.
Yeah, he said, you know, essentially thank you for coming in and doing what you did, because I really started thinking about things. And he kind of came to some really some conclusions that he might not have necessarily come to had Russell been completely silent or completely non-cooperative. And apparently the discussions, what brief discussions they had, what few things Russell did say, were enough to get him, get those gears turning. So I feel like I had a better effect by going in and being cooperative. It allowed me to be sociable with the prisoners and the guards. And it's like Mark said, I mean, these guys they're doing their jobs. And nothing that we do is going to make them want to quit their jobs. And even if they do quit their jobs, it's not going to change. That's not going to change the system. So I think that non-cooperation is valuable.
I think you're more valuable outside of imprisonment as well. If for nothing else than Free Talk Live to help, educate more people. I hope I have some value outside as well, because I chose to be outside.
I think so.
Anecdote about. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're very valuable. I mean, you not only do you come to all the activist things, but you also are an initiator of activism. You've created websites. You started the Keene Freedom Fest website, which is awesome. You did, your best website, I think, so far is mail-2-jail.com, which is so useful. It allows people to send letters to people through the internet, to send letters to people like you, Mark, Mike, who are actually in jail. And so I, sent $25 over there, and I think people should send you some contributions at mail-2-jail.com to help you out.
Not to mention that, Mike, but if somebody thinks that you did it incorrectly, you've done the civil disobedience poorly.
Oh, yeah. The critics will come out of the woodwork.
Absolutely. Now they have the opportunity to come to New Hampshire and do it correctly.
Right.
And they can have a better chance of people doing it the same way that they have, the correct way, of course, now that they've shown us all of how to do it, because there's civil disobedience activists that have shown their willingness to stand up to the state.
Yeah, people, please come here and join me, or come here and show me a better way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just come here.
We definitely need more people here. That is going to change a lot of these things, because even though the government guys know that the Free Staters are here, I don't think they really realize what that means yet. They don't really understand, what's coming next. So you did end up bailing out. Was it a bail bondsman, or was it all in cash?
It was all cash.
Okay, so some money is on the line here. That means, I guess, you're not going to be doing a failure to appear at the next trial, huh?
I'm not going to do a failure to appear at the next trial because of the jail term. I mean, the cash I could do without, I could miss, whatever, but
yeah.
A year in jail for failing to appear to prove the point that I don't need your permission, that's a little steep for me.
Is that what you're looking at on just the failure to appear charge, is up to a year?
No, but the other charges there, I'm guessing they'll find me in default of and give me the max sentence. I don't know, but it's just getting, with six charges there and with the ones in Keene, it's just getting a little too steep.
You know, I agree, and still, Mike, there's opportunities to go into you can go in front of the judge powerfully, or you can go, whipped, and there's all kinds of things you can do still.
Right.
I don't see a loss here.
The big charge they have me against is a real weak charge, and I'm innocent of it. Even though it's a victimless crime, I'm innocent of it.
So which one is this?
This was holding a weapon without a permit.
And
in New Hampshire, you don't need a permit to open carry a gun. When you get into a car, if the gun is loaded. It's considered concealed carry, for which you do need a permit. Mm-hmm. I do not have a permit, but the gun was not loaded.
Oh, so, really? Okay.
Plain and simple, yeah. So it's just a completely... And also...
It's still a silly charge to begin with, and I would love to see somebody stand up on it. It's a dangerous one to stand up on, I certainly understand.
Yeah.
But the fact is, look, if it's legal to carry it on my hip, why isn't it legal for me to get into a car with it? Why does it suddenly become concealed at that point? I mean, I'll grant you it's in a container, but so's my house. Why isn't it concealed when I'm indoors?
So is it safe to presume you're going to be going with a jury trial on this?
I will request one. I don't know what their laws are about whether they'll allow it.
I don't either. I don't know either, but I've heard that the Class A misdemeanor you can have a jury trial on. I don't know if you have to have it after the judge makes the decision, like you have to appeal to the Superior Court. I'm not sure how their system works either. But
they
won't
take this to a jury trial for the concealed weapon.
Well, here's another great use of Free Staters. I'm going to be hiring fellow Free Staters instead of a lawyer to represent me or to help me represent myself, like Sam I Am or maybe... Ivy, so I've got people who know the freedom movement and who are into the law, kind of law-esque kind of thing to help me out with this.
Well, I hope you'll keep us in the loop here, Mike, and let us know what is going on with your situation. Obviously, it's best to hear it straight
from
you.
There are lawyers in the Free State Free State Project movement.
That's true. Yeah.
So did you sign the bail paperwork under duress, or did you just give them your signature?
Here's my last bit of rebellion after I felt I was caving in. When I finally did start signing their papers, I made up a name that looked like mine and signed it with that.
That's interesting. I did sign a few of them all rights reserved, and some of them were under duress, but they took all the papers. They just want their damn paperwork, you know?
Yeah.
So the next your next trial is the Keene one, right? That's hearing.
Correct.
That's a hearing in Keene for the Freedom Fest thing. So we'll keep our listeners in the loop as the activist movement continues here. And, Mike, it's good to hear your voice. Good that you're out of jail.
Thank you. Thanks for the airtime, and also thanks for being at the arraignment, and thanks for support, you guys. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Thanks, dude. Have a good night. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Let's sneak over to Stephen, Colorado. Stephen, you got about the last 20 or 30 seconds, so go.
Oh, Rex, I didn't realize what time it was. I was just thinking the whole show tonight seemed to be about force, and the caller before Mike... was questioning you on where's the force, and I can't think of a single government program that doesn't involve force. Thought I'd throw that out there.
That's inherent. All the government has.
Right.
I mean, the government is an agency that, you know, gets what it wants by forcing you to do it. If you don't do it, they'll either take your house away, they'll throw you in jail, they'll take all your money, it's gone with your money, whatever.
Government is not eloquence, it is force.
They'll steal your kid.
Thank you for the call tonight.
All right.
Yes, sir. It has been Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
We shall return tomorrow, and we'll see you online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect to your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home.
Call 888-629-9903 and sign up today. That's 888-629-9903.
My computer works. Does yours?
Are taxes, food, energy, housing, medical forcing Americans into poverty? Is free enterprise flawed, or is our monetary system forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? The answers are in Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about the Fed and central banking. Hi, Ted Anderson. I will give a U.S. silver dollar to everyone who purchases this book. Call 800-686-2237. It's critical to be made aware of the system. Get your copy today, 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.